have walked the mountains of desperation. You have climbed, you have fought, you have won. But this valley that lies coldly before you cast a shadow you cannot overcome. And just when you thought you had it all together, you knew every verse to get you through. But this time, all the sorrow broke more than just your heart. And reciting all those cliches just won't do. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer, and your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, He is there. Instead of asking why, of where it can lead you from here. And as your pain is slowly easing, you can find a greater reason to live your life triumphant through the tears. Answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayers. And your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. Oh, when answers aren't enough, He is there.
As you prepare your hearts for the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to stand to your feet. I want to introduce to you the man that has changed our lives. Most of the people you see here, the reason why they look smart and why they act smart is because of the words of from the man of God that comes into our lives. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together as we welcome to the platform my father, your pastor, Pastor Chris. With excitement.
Two, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Yeah. It's working. Amen. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Father, we thank you for your great blessing on our lives. Thank you for your hand upon us through the dark night and for another opportunity in life. We pray, Lord, that we use the chances that we receive to be transformed into the image of the Son, Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, quicken our understanding. Give us the word and break it and reveal it to us so that we can see Jesus. We thank you for everything you have done in our lives. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may all be seated on top of your enemies. And you are all welcome here. Hallelujah. We thank Pastor Robin them for arranging that we can still have speakers even if Eskom is not working. Glory to God. Now, there's a new boss at Eskom, I believe. And he spoke on TV the other day and said that there's going to be some load shedding for a while until they can fix everything. So it's a wise thing to prepare yourselves for this period so that we can fix what is broken. Amen. Don't be angry. Don't be frustrated. Work it out. Use wisdom. Hallelujah. Well, so it's my privilege to greet you all. And then, of course, our team at the university, Virgil and the others all worked well to advertise the student ministry there. And this morning, I believe they also invited some students along. And we welcome all of you here from UWC. I trust God we will be able to do something opposite the road on CPUT as well. But I'm an ex-UWC student. Bush University. What we call it. Amen. Alumni. And it's a blessing to have all of you here. There are many churches on the university. What makes our church different and nice is we are not on the university. We are just off the university. Amen. Hallelujah. So you meet the local people of Belha. Wonderful. My son is in the United States studying at the university there. And he also attends a church outside of the university, which is always beneficial because now you meet people that live in the area. Isn't that wonderful? And if needs arise and problems arise, your family is extended. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you're on the university, it's also good, but you only meet fellow students. There's only a certain help a fellow student can give you, but there's another type of help that a person like myself can give you. Hallelujah. You will see normal people like babies, children, your age, older, and very older. Is it wonderful? You meet your grandmothers here. You meet your brothers and sisters here. You might even meet your beloveds here as well. But more than that, you meet Jesus here. He's the one that changed all our lives. And if you are willing and open, he will change your life too. There's no force in Jesus, no forcefulness. It's willingness. Say amen. You must be willing to change. You must be willing to receive him. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called children of God. You too can be called a child of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's a great blessing. After the service, I normally have to rush because we have another church. We have a few churches. And the church that I go to is in Delft. That's why I also say a few things before I leave. And that is that at the end, please make a plea for some support for our camera system. We have put in a new camera system on our property. And it's working fully. I can see you. Do you see? Once I was blind, but now I can see. So I can even see from my phone everything that is happening there. And so if any problems there, we can go and support, help our boys. But it's also a blessing there to have the camera system. It's not finished yet. It should be done in the week, but it's already working. And it's a deterrent. It's a wisdom deterrent for thieves and many such things. Amen. Glory to God. And then tonight will be our first revival service at our site. At 6 o'clock, yeah, we're starting early, I'm sure. It's hot today. But you are blessed to have a nice venue here that's not so hot. The tent is very hot, so I must go there. That's why I don't wear suits, you can understand, because I mean it's too hot. I'm here to work. Amen. Not to look like a model. I leave that to Derek. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So today I want to preach a short sermon, but I also want to pray for people before I leave, and want to pray for Jerome's mother. She's not well, but I'll pray for her. I brought my oil along to anoint her. Amen. But I think we can first have the word of God. Hallelujah. Is there any other major announcement I must make? There's a marriage and ministry seminar coming next week or the week after, 2 weeks' time. 50 rand secures your seat because we give you something to eat, etc. I'll be speaking to people that's in the ministry that are married or want to get married. Anybody's welcome. If your mind is thinking one day you want to marry, it's even better for younger people because young people can use the wisdom more. Older people can use the wisdom, but or they can receive the wisdom, but they can't really use it because their life is already gone. But when you're young, you still have your life to live. Are you with me? That's why young people must not be trapped in Satan's snare. That they can first enjoy the world and afterwards come to commit to Christ. No, no, no. The Bible says you must remember your Creator in the days of your youthfulness. Before unhappy days come, and it is coming. Then you will say, "Eish, I wish I served God rather." That is what you will say. So serve Him now. Hallelujah. Serve Him in your youthfulness while your bones have strength. Before you need help to get up from the chair. That day is coming. But while we have energy, hallelujah, God is good to us. So I'm blessed by Lucy taking my sermon and putting it into the poem. You are really talented, gifted. May God use you. May the devil not catch you. The devil is very successful in catching people and deceiving their thoughts. So you think in a certain way, and later you discover, I was misled. So it's so important that you come to receive God's word that works as a counter attack against Satan. Are you with me? Satan injects poison. The word of God is an antidote for the poison of Satan. But those who do not receive the word, the poison is effectively working through your whole body till eventually you die. You might not die physically, but you will die spiritually. But God is interested in you, and that is why He gave you this great opportunity to be here. Today I want to speak about a peculiar people. A peculiar people. I'll spell it also for you. Can you spell? You are welcome to take notes also in church because the things I say, they are heavy loaded, they are spiritual, and they will transform your life. Always remember, wisdom, listen everybody, listen to me, wisdom is related to works. Amen. In Mark chapter 6, when Jesus came into the city, the people said of Him, "What wisdom is this that such great works are done by His hands?" Now that verse tells you that your wisdom is connected to your works. Are you with me? Wisdom is not words only. Like I'm giving you my wisdom in my words, but you need to see that, do I have works to prove that I am a wise man? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, everybody can talk. A lot of people can talk. Talking is cheap. You just open and you go blah, 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 blah. A lot of women talk most of the time. But it's not a lot of wisdom coming from them. It's complaining and murmuring. Mercy. But your wisdom will be checked on the works that you produce. In other words, don't just believe a man's words. Ask for the wisdom. Say, where's your works? I have another way of putting it. Never take advice from unproductive people. Are you with me? So if you want to say, why must we listen to Pastor Chris? Why must we follow Pastor Chris? Look for my works. Hey, do I have any fruit and works that shows that what I'm saying is what I believe? And am I experiencing it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, a peculiar people. Do you think it's going to be a good sermon? I think it's going to be a powerful sermon. Unfortunately, we don't have cameras here today because of the power. Sometimes God doesn't allow others to hear what you alone must hear. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, podcast is working. Okay, so you can listen to me again on podcast. And if you were here last week, you will know that the listening of the preaching on the audio, whichever it's podcast, cassette, USB, whatever you have, TV, it's very important. I'm not saying listen to all. You know, there's one problem you have when I say listen to CDs and audios. You must have particular preachers that feed you. Are you with me? And the one preacher, number one, that must constantly feed you is your pastor. Because there are many voices in the world and none of them are without significance. They mean something. But your voice of your shepherd. We used to have a song, Virgil, that his voice makes a difference. I don't know why you changed it. I actually like that one, especially when I'm coming. His voice makes the difference. Because it is so important that you must hear the voice. The older I get, the more I understand the importance of these principles I'm teaching you. Do you see it? Like when you get older, it's almost like, after all you've taught, can you see it in life? Like if I'm saying, young girls, do this, do that, do this, and you will be this and this and that. You'll be successful. Now, as I grow over time, I see what I've preached comes to pass. I see those that I've told, do this, and they do it, I see them blessed. Those who didn't, I see them down. So I see that my words, it is becoming reality. But the real reason is that it's not really my words. It's the word of God. Because Pastor Chris's words will fall by the wayside, but the word of God will remain forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I see God blessing you. If blessings are conditional. Are you with me? Blessings are conditional. I'm so blessed because I sent you that picture of Jason walking in the snow. Did you see that? My son is in the U.S. and it was a picture on the Instagram. It's like the university has an Instagram. Instagram is, I think I'm right, where they take photos. It's only more like pictures. Jamie, yeah? Pictures and the show they've gotten. So he was the Instagram for this week. They caught him walking, a colored boy in a white suburb of the USA, walking and catching snow for the first time. And somebody caught him on camera. He couldn't believe it. He never felt snow. Only stones, because people used to throw him with stones here in Chestnut Place. But now for the first time, it's not rocks and stones, it's snow. So sometimes when I talk about the works, I always think of him. And you understand what I'm saying? So if you listen to me, this is your blessings that will come for you. So he's walking, enjoying, studying in the United States over here. You see, and then it's a very expensive to study. It's 10 times more. If you pay 30,000 rand, my son studies for UWC. He started his first year, nature, biodiversity, science, BSc. 30,000 something. In the US, for 1 year, 320,000 rand. Are you with me? But the Lord opened the door, so it's no paying. No paying. come study. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Now look how successfully Satan, he knows what God wants to do for you. So he gets you to listen to him and you miss the great plan of God for your lives. That which could have been yours, you look on it with regret. Throughout the Bible, listen, God was always interested in a people that he could make different to the world. Because Satan polluted this world and wickedness abounds. Even today, wickedness is all over. Danger, wickedness. I mean, just to be here is a blessing from God. That you weren't killed last night, hijacked, murdered, or die before your time. Everybody wants to die peacefully, isn't it? I mean, we're all going to die, isn't it? But you want to die in your sleep. How many would rather want to die in your sleep than to drown in a swimming pool? Or be shot with it, or be hijacked, or be, you see, or crash. There's so many ways. I mean, we are afraid of death. Death is an enemy. So we all want to die peacefully, but it's not always like that. So that is why we thank God. We are here. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Protecting us from what? From a foolish death. Die you will, but we don't want to die foolishly. We don't want to die because of the decisions we made that takes the hand of God away from us and causes Satan to lead us to death because the enemy wants to steal, kill, destroy. Let me get to my sermon. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Because no man can understand him. Howbeit, in other words, but in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries unto God. And he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, he edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth, he edifies the church. I'm prophesying now. This is preaching called prophesying. I edify, I exhort, I comfort the church. But when you hear some of our people say, Kuyaba shekuta baka, I'm not speaking to you. No. Because we know not what we need to pray for as we ought. Howbeit when he, the Holy Spirit, prays through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So churches that don't understand the speaking in tongues, they miss the gift of God. Because the Holy Spirit is using the gift of tongues to pray through you mysteries that you will not know. Hallelujah. Wait, I want to preach, man. Stop. Stop taking me away from my preaching. Titus is a small book in the New Testament. Titus is a letter, epistle. Titus chapter 2 verses 11. He says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Robin, can you open the NLT for me because the projector is not working? But keep listening to me. I'm reading the King James. The grace of God, I start again, brings salvation. Hallelujah. We are saved by grace. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. It brings salvation to all men, teaching us that we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Everybody say peculiar. You must remember that word, not petunia, peculiar. Say peculiar. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. What does the NLT? Give me your Bible. What does the NLT say? Or read it, verse 14. Who gave himself? Or what does it say?
Verse 14. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds.
Hallelujah. To make us his very own people. Is that what it says?
Yes, sir.
It's a peculiar people. You are God's people. You are separated from other people. So today I'm going to teach you what it means when God saves you and wants to form of you a peculiar people. And if you understand the Bible nicely, you will see that the nation of Israel was God's chosen nation just as a picture for us that this is what God wants to do when he saves, when he takes hold of somebody or some people, what can happen. And how God can bless. And how God wants them to do different, to be different to the rest of the world. The rest of the world is under the sway of the evil one, doing wicked things and mad things. How many of you saw this movie? It's a nice movie. Apocalypto. How many of you saw? Put your hand up if you saw it. How many of you don't watch movies? You always hear I'm saying something from a movie. It's act like our actors here. Film stars. I think we must change. I wanted to call them actors, but then I realized actors is also pretenders. So maybe it's not a good name. So you didn't see it. It's a movie of the American Indians or the South American people those years, and how they worshipped foreign gods, and how they had to give blood to the gods to appease the gods' anger. There was a plague in the land, so they were chopping off the heads of people just every time so the blood can ask God to take away the plague. Hey! That movie shows you how Satan has come into this world and caused all wild, mad thinking and caused people to be killed, murdered. It's a shock. What a shock. And that is what the Lord wants to show you that by preserving a certain people, you see, this is the real will of God for the world. Not what you see happen around murders, killing, lasciviousness, adultery, sex, lust. No. It's not God's way. God wants to show you, this is my way. Hallelujah. That's why he said, unless a man be born again, you cannot enter into God's way. You cannot understand God's style and God's kingdom. The world is under the sway of the evil one. Are you all listening to me? It is therefore that it's crucial that you must be born again. Last week I explained how born again brings, there must be a change in your life to show that you are born again. It's no good to say I'm a Christian by name, but there's no fruit that display your power, your Christianity. Are you with me? So the call of God is a call to be peculiar. Say again, peculiar. And what does it mean? It means to be marked different from the usual. I'm different. Hallelujah. But a lot of young people struggle with this thing. They don't want to be different. You can say amen. They don't want to be, they want to be like everyone else. Is it true? But to be peculiar means, it's a word in the Bible. I just proved it to you, isn't it, in Titus? It means to you will deviate from the usual and the unexpected path of life. You will deviate, you are not part of the world. You will deviate, hallelujah, from the usual and the expected path of life. And a lot of Christians don't like to be called the peculiar people, but I thank God that I'm peculiar. And you are also peculiar. Glory to God. It's not good to want to be like everybody else. Sometimes God chooses you to be different. Hallelujah. You say, I want to marry like everyone else. I want to have a child like everyone else. I want to dress like everyone else. I want to be rich like everyone else. But you must accept that God called you to exist on a different level and a different path. Amen. And that is when you are born again. Now I give you just a few pointers and then I close. The first important point for you today is that after you are born again, you are set apart. You are set apart. You are peculiar in the sense you are set apart and you become peculiar by physical separation. Oh no, let me give you another. Let's wait for that one. Let me give you some other point. You become set apart to become a peculiar person with a peculiar life. That's the first key. You have a peculiar life. In other words, you don't do things the same as everybody else. Hallelujah. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's drunk. Everybody's having babies before they married. Everybody's having sex with everybody. But you, not you, because you are what? Peculiar. You are different. Hallelujah. Now, here's the second key. I said, when you become born again, you are set apart as a peculiar person by physical separation from unbelievers. Physical separation from unbelievers. Always remember to follow Christ will cost you something. And one of the biggest costs is the separation from unbelievers. And I want to prove to you again in my words and my works, like I started in my introduction. Look at those who do not obey this instruction I'm giving, and then you look at those who do. Those who still want to be connected to unbelievers, you will see that there will be no spiritual growth. Eventually, they will only be backsliding. Because they say, no, we want to be like them. We want to be like everybody else. But you are called out to be separate. A peculiar people. A wonderlijke klompie mensen. Hey, listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. Pastor Robin, read it loud. Is your mic not working? Come fetch my mic quickly. 2 Corinthians in the NLT. In the King James it says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Is everybody hearing the word of God? I'm not talking, God is talking to you from the Bible. He says, do not be connected or yoked to unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Young people say amen. Amen. What communion has light with darkness? Say another amen. Amen. These things must stick in your system. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Yay! What path hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hey, God is a jealous God. God wants you for himself. Now listen, he says in verse 18, wherefore come out from among them. Come out and be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty God. How many of you would like to be a son of Satan? How many like to be a son of God? Amen. God says, if you want to be my son and my daughter, you must come out from among them and be separate. Be a peculiar person. Hallelujah. Read it in the NLT so they can understand.
NLT, verse 14.
The New Living Translation of the Bible.
Do not team up with those who are unbelievers.
Hey.
How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever?
Hey.
And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch filthy things, and I will welcome you. And verse 18 says, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, if you can come out from amongst them and be separate, says the Lord. Be a peculiar person. Are you listening to me? So one of the important things of being peculiar is being separate from unbelievers. And you mustn't fight this. Don't let the enemy put other thoughts into your mind and say, oh, but you know, Jesus was with sinners. And so I just went to the nightclub because I want to be like Jesus. And I just drank. I just sat with them. I didn't drink. And they smoked dacha. I don't smoke dacha. It's only the smell of the cannabis. It's so nice, but I don't drink. You can't be. You must come out there. Are you with me? You must come out physically. Separate physically from the company of people. But you will meet these people in your workplace and in your school. Are you listening? They are there. And you cannot really escape from them because you are in this world. Is that right? But in many ways, you can be separate from them. Hallelujah. Do not company with the world. Do not go out and socialize with unbelievers. You can like me or don't like me. I'm preaching the word of God. Do not socialize with unbelievers. Do not go for lunches, for dinners, and for parties with unbelievers. This is the word of the Lord. If it's possible, don't share a roommate with an unbeliever. Because the unbeliever will be having sex on the bed next to you and say, Mako yo utu is this nerens anasi. He'll have, what do we call it, fornicate. Or be bringing wine there, be bringing drink, and you must share a room like that. If it's possible, ask for a believer to be your roommate. If it's possible. Are you with me? Do not have a best friend as an unbeliever. This is hard preaching this morning, but it's the way I preach. I preach hard. Hardness is good. It will make you a great person. Always choose hard more than light and easy. Students that want to be good at university, study hard and you will come to the top. Those who choose nice and easy. Clever jazz. Do they still play clever jazz in the sport, in the student center? Oh, the students used to play clever jazz and we used to go study at the library. So we chose hard and difficult. It's better than nice and easy. Are you listening? Don't be best friends with unbelievers. Rather develop new friends and stay separate in Christ. Hallelujah. Because you can't have everything in life, isn't it? You can't have your old friends as well as your new friends. Now you've come to a company of believers. You meet believing friends. But you want these friends and you still want your old friends. Hey, you like Lot and his wife that doesn't want to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. Hard preaching. You must accept to be physically separate from people who do not believe the same things that you believe. Belief is important. I always tell my pastors, you can't have this situation of saying, oh no, look, we don't talk about our belief. We're just having a social time together. Life, then you're not serious with God. Because your belief determines your life. What do you believe? Don't you believe that this person is going to hell? So you're not giving this person the gospel. You're not sharing the gospel. You say, no, let's not talk about religion. Well, this is not about religion. our relationship with Jesus is our life. It's not part of our life. It's almost like, okay, now let's talk about this. Let's not. No, 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 no. We are totally immersed in God. We are baptized in God. We are totally underwater. We were not sprinkled with water on our foreheads. We were baptized under the water. Hallelujah. So our whole body, soul and spirit belongs to Him. And our beliefs is strong. So much so that it will separate us to be chosen by God. Come out, come out, come out. Be separate. It will be lonely sometimes. It will cost you to give up things. That's the cross. The cross of Jesus does not mean you must go back to hang on a physical wooden cross. But it means it's another type of cross. It's a cross of surrender, giving up things. Jesus gave up His life. Are you with me? So when He says you must also give your life, it means give the life of the usual way of things and become a peculiar person. Oh, I love my preaching. If I had money, I would have given myself an offering. Because it's good preaching. You must come out. You are a peculiar person. Okay, one more point, or depends the time. One more point. I'm preaching. Number three. Remember I said the first one is that you must be a peculiar person with a peculiar lifestyle. Then you must come away from unbelievers. You can try me now. You can test it. Huh? But the danger is you don't test. It's almost like I say, if you jump from the bridge, you will die. You say, I don't believe you. Then I say, okay, try. Try and see if you can fly. Because you heard the song, I Believe I Can Fly. Now, this is what I'm saying. You see, it's too dangerous for me to say, if you don't believe me, try the other way. Because the way of man leads to death. So it's almost like me telling you, jump off a bridge. Won't I be wicked? Won't I be wicked to tell you, jump from a bridge and see if your belief works? I know your belief doesn't work. I've seen it before. How do I know? I've seen the proof in other people. That's how it is. People who go before us are examples to us of what we should and should not do. I mean, the first time they discovered that the train can knock a person down when a person was knocked down. So everybody said, don't stand in front of that stuff that come on the lines. Because one man thought it was a ladder. He saw this long ladder. He never saw a railway line before. So we said, what a long leer is this? What long? And then this train came. Do you see? And the train was making choo-choo, telling him to get out of the way. He didn't understand. Choo, 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 choo. So he stood in front of the train and he said, but I was here before you. But so the train knocked him. But thank God he was just about jumping off in time. So he had a lot of bad injuries and he was totally bandaged. So we visited his friend on the farm next door. And the friend was busy making some coffee on the kettle. So as the kettle was boiling, you know the steam come out. And suddenly he kicked the kettle and the water was flying all over. And his friend asked him, why did you kick my kettle? He said, these things, you must deal with them when they're small. Because when they get bigger, they can knock you. He did not understand the danger of standing on a railway line. It's like I'm preaching to you now. I'm warning you of danger, but you say, no, 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 I'll try it for myself. So go stand in front of the train. Go stand. Satan will mock, he will make a mockery out of your life. Young girl, young boy, do not let the devil take you. You may. God chose you to become peculiar. So that you can be, being the son of God. Some of the only ways to make people understand, because they are, people are so worldly, is to equate it with like being the son of a rich person. Do you understand? Like this prince that's now married this American girl. You see, he's the prince. I mean, he's got security guards that walk wherever he goes. He has money. He doesn't know the value of money because he was born in riches. So if you're the son of a rich person, then you inherit riches, isn't it so? When you are children of God, you inherit the things that belong to God. Hey, why do you want to change being a son of God to being a son of Satan? Why would you want to change that? I advise you, come to God. Come live under His wing, in the shadow of His wing. But it will cost you to be a peculiar person. So the things that everybody does, you don't do. You live under God's law. You live under God's advice. Hallelujah. Because He knows what's good for you. Like your mother told you, brush your teeth in the morning. And then also in the night before you sleep, brush it. But you didn't listen. Now you see that one tooth in your mouth that is out. I mean, all of you have one that is out. If you had listened, it would have still been there. Yeah. But it's gone. Because of your disobedience. Isn't it true? Just look at the small children when they smile. You see just brown little mouse looking at you. Mama didn't brush the teeth. At any rate, number three. It says, when you are born again, you are also set apart. In other words, you become what? I can't hear you. You become what? And you become a peculiar person with a peculiar life by your pure and holy lifestyle. Wow, what a message. Ephesians 2 verse 1. It says, Robin, read it in the NLT. Ephesians 2 verse 1.
Ephesians 2 verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins.
Yes, read it to verse 4, sorry.
You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and indignations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Mm. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much.
With His great love. Amen. Listen to the scripture again, verse 3 of it. It says, we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh. You see, it's explaining what happened before you're born again. I'm trying to explain to you what a person that's born again should live like. Because I think some of us we're at the initial step, but we're not living a peculiar life. So I'm preaching to you to live a peculiar life. Are you listening? So he said, we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, but God was rich in mercy. So, holiness is what God expects of us. Hallelujah. And it will make your life peculiar. Because the whole world follows after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind. In other words, what my flesh wants, I desire. What my mind wants, I desire. That is why you must grow up in the spirit, man. I didn't teach it here. I taught it at the other church that man is a spirit. Man is a spirit that has a soul but lives in a body. But the body must always be brought into discipline. Mm-hmm. And the soul, which is the mind, must be transformed by the renewal of the word. Are you with me? It's the spirit that must govern you. However, most believers are not mature, so they are led by the body, which is the flesh, and they are led by the mind, which is the soul, the mind which should be brought, which is not changed by the word. They haven't heard the word. So they think wrong. Are you here? And they lust after things and they just go where they lust. You see a woman, you say, I want her. Like Samson said, I want her. The father said, you can't have her. I said, but I want her. And you follow it and it will lead you to your destruction. Listen carefully. The whole world follows the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind. And if you're not a believer, you will also follow the flesh and the mind. But when you are born again, hallelujah, you still have the desires of the flesh. It's not gone. You still have the desires of the mind. It's not gone. The difference is between you and an unbeliever is you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you understand? You also have the temptation that the normal person has. You also have the lust, but you don't fulfill it. Glory to God. For example, let's talk about it. The whole world desires sex. That is why the world is full of fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, immoral people, teenage girls with children, not married. It's full. It's full. Do you agree? It's full. Uh-huh. Because everybody does what he feels like doing. But when you are born again, you cannot just do what you feel like doing. You get it? I also feel like it, but I don't do it because I'm a peculiar person. And I have a father whose name is God. Hallelujah. Most people in the world are not virgins, even though they are not married. But being born again means you have a holy lifestyle. Say amen. You are set aside all forms of immorality, and that will make you peculiar. Hallelujah. Remember I told you how the angel came looking for a person through whom Jesus can be born. Who did he look for? He looked for a virgin called Mary. But that virginity starts in your youth, in your young life. Are you listening? Yeah, so I'm preaching to young people. If you don't have your virginity anymore, don't get angry with me. I'm talking to the young girl that must still grow up after you. Say amen. Hallelujah. Don't fight it, accept it. You are peculiar. You will have a holy and a peculiar life. And you will be delivered from many evils in Jesus' name. We can't accept that, we're all like that, Pastor. The whole world is like that, Pastor. No! You are peculiar. You will live a holy life. You shun the wrong and you do what's right in the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Young people, you see the difference. You see the difference. Hallelujah. Don't be like that. Listen to Paul. He says in Ephesians 4, I'm closing. Please play nicely there on that guitar. Listen to this. Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians 4. Are you there, Pastor Robbie? Ephesians 4:17. NLT. Quickly. Listen carefully, everybody. To 24.
With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do.
Hold it. Am I saying that you mustn't live as the Gentiles? The Bible is saying it, isn't it? Is the Bible calling you out to be peculiar? Yes, so continue reading.
Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness.
Hey.
They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him.
Hey.
They have no sense of shame.
Hey.
They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity.
Mercy.
But that isn't what you are learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him.
Yes.
Throw off your old sinful nature.
Hey.
And your former way of life.
Wow.
Which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy.
Truly righteous and holy. Put on your new nature. truly righteous and truly holy. Play it, play, brother, play. We are called to be a peculiar people. You must be different. Amen. You must be different. Is it hard? I'm sure it will cost you something. Following Jesus will cost you something. But at the end, you will reap a great reward.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You cannot identify just being like everybody else. You have been called out to be a peculiar person. The friends will be in the majority. You must choose the minority. Amen. Otherwise, the enemy will destroy your life sooner than what you thought. Stand to your feet, everybody. Hallelujah. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Don't look around. I want to pray for you before I go. Maybe you say to me, Pastor, I would like to have this born-again experience. I want to be a peculiar person. I want God as my Father. Religion cannot save you. You can belong to any church, but God is calling you to have a relationship with Him. To belong to Him, to receive His Son as your Savior. And I want to pray for you today. Maybe you have the name of a Christian, but your life is not peculiar. You also need prayer because you need God's strength to help you.